Okay, so we're on the Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph tonight, but I'm going to go back to the Mishnah and Chaf Amud Beis. We'll go over and then we'll go further. Okay, so the top line of the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Beis, page 40. Chomer b'kodesh mitruma. So the Mishnah says there are more stringencies when it comes to kachim than truma. He says now the Mishnah lists 11 or another version is 10. But we'll see, but 11 different stringencies. Shemapilin kelim b'toch kelim the truma. For truma, the Tanna Mishnah says we could immerse one keli even though it's in the other keli. So I'll immerse them one keli in the keli, and for truma, about all the kodesh. But for kodesh, I can't do that. And the Gemara will discuss it, and we'll discuss why it's good for one and not the other. He says then that's the first stringency. Second stringency, achorayim b'toch ubeit atzvita b'truma. He says avalo b'kodesh. In other words, it's talking about if I'm using with tuma drabanan, like if you have mashkim, which are shani the tuma, so on a drabanan level, they can be mitame kalim. So if I have a mashke touches a keli, so if the keli is comprised of an outside, an inside, and beta tzvita, the Gemara is going to say the handle. So if it touches any of those pieces, only that part, either the outside, the inside, or the handle, is tame. He says, Avalo b'kodesh. But for Kodesh, the whole thing is Tame. And again, we're talking about Tuma Durabana, not a Tuma Duraisa. Okay, we're on the fourth line in the Mishnah on Chafam Beis, to page 20, okay? Hanoseidha Midras. Again, if a person carries Midras, Midras is something that the Zav or the Nida sits on, or in this case, Rashi says the shoe. He says if a person is carrying the Midras, Noseidha Truma. At the same time, he could carry Truma. Now, when he's talking carrying the truma is in a kli cheres, but I can carry the truma as well, even though the person himself becomes tamei, avalo ad kodesh, but you can't carry the kodesh. So the Gemara is going to explain, we're not tonight, but in the coming days, the Gemara is going to explain there's a chashash that the midras will end up in the avir of the kli cheres. So we're not afraid about it by truma, we are afraid about it by kodesh. Big day ochle truma, midras the kodesh. The big thing, the garments of the people who eat truma, in other words, you have konim who are in a state of tahara, they have their garments, but their garments are considered to be midras, tumas midras, for the people who eat kodesh, another in the Qumran. Then the Tanna Mishnah says, lo kemidat kodesh midat truma, like the principle for kodesh, or the rule for kodesh, is not the rule for truma, i.e., shebe kodesh matir umanagev matbil. By kodesh, in other words, you have a garment. The garment has like a knot or it's tied together or one thing like that. So I have to untie it. Then menagev, the simple pshat menagev is I have to dry it off. And we'll talk about it. But one idea is that when it's wet, it like more likely clumps together. Umatbil, and then I'm tovel it. He says, that's for kodesh. But harkach kosher. And then when I take it out of the mikvah, I could tie the garment again the way it was. Ubitruma, but when it comes to truma, kosher of a charkach mabil. I could tie it together and then I could tovel it. And so the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about a loose knot, which is really not a chatzitza. So the truma is not a chatzitza. But nevertheless, for the Kodesh, we're concerned about it. Let me just do a few things from this. I have one of the sheets here about menagev. But let's do a little bit with that. He says the reason for the requirement. So the question is, why is there a chumra that I have to dry the garment before I stick it in the mikveh? It seems like counterintuitive. This thing's wet. It's going into the mikveh. What difference does it make? So Rashi comments that if the garment is wet, it appears as though there's some sort of chatzitza on the garment, preventing the water from coming in contact with the surface of the garment. It's difficult to understand, however, why a wet garment would constitute possibly a chatzitza problem. On the contrary, the Mishnah Masech Mikvah indicates there's an advantage to immersing a wet object because the mikveh water merges with the moisture on the object and is thereby able to reach and purify even the cracks and crevices of the object. In other words, something's wet that enhances the tefillin of the mikvah. It usually doesn't act against it. Yet here the Mishnah says to dry it off ahead of time. So the Rome Sada, which is the Nitziv, he explains that the sages were not concerned with the water per se, but rather that foreign matter might cling to a moist garment. Therefore, they enacted a stringency with regard to Kodesh and forbade immersion of a moist garment. That's one hesber. Just one second. Tosfos on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis explains that there is a concern that the water on the tamei garment becomes tamei and after the immersion, the tami water may recontaminate the garment. Generally, this is not a concern because there's a halacha which says the tami water which comes in contact with a valid mikvah merges with the mikvah and becomes tahor. However, with regard to Kodesh, suggests Tosfos, perhaps the sages impose a stringency and disallow the principle of Hashaka. Because normally, in other words, the garment's wet. So normally, and we're afraid that the water is Tameh. So normally, if I stick it in the mikvah, it's no harm, no foul. So the water that's Tameh through Hashaka is like it comes into contact with the mikvah water. So it's all one body of water. But Tosfo says perhaps the pshat in the Mishnah is that on a Kurma Drabanan, it still retains its tumah. The Rav implies, because the Rav means the Bar Tanura, implies that the sages were not concerned with the garment moistened by water, but rather that there might be greasy substance attached to the garment. Now he has a little shtickle tova about the greasy thing, but the Rambam indicates that in this instance, termanagev does not mean to dry, but rather to clean. In other words, the Rambam would say managev doesn't mean to dry, it means to clean it. The Mishnah requires untying the knots, removing any dirt deposit, which may have accumulated there. Okay, now, the art scroll said, one second. It says over here, check this, one second. He says this in footnote 9. He says, for the water in the garment, it causes it to swell, which can result in the garment becoming bunched in places. And this bunching too resembles a chatzitza. Rashi, as elaborated by the Meiri. Okay, what do you want to say, Rabbi? Say what? Right. It's not automatic pilot. You should be looking at the object. In other words, you want to say, all right, but that's the not the shot that the Mepharshim give. Okay, let's go further in the Mishnah, and then we'll pause at the end of the Mishnah, and we'll take some more questions. Okay, so back in the Mishnah. Okay, now we're up to around 8 lines from the bottom on the Mishnah. Kelim and Nigmarim B'tara. Again, so last night I said to you that a keli is only mekabel tumah when the processing is finished with the keli. So if I'm careful with the keli and I know that it was nigmar in a state of tara, it was completed in a state of tahara, srichin tefillah kodesh. Nevertheless, that keli requires tefillah for kodesh of alola truma, but not for truma. He says, okay, one second. Okay, so the Gemara is going to explain the reason for that. I think this is a chashash that somebody spat on it, like somebody who's tameh, you know, like a zav may have spat on it. Okay, now a kli mitzarif masha tocho lekodesh avolo letruma. Now this I didn't explain this 100% correctly yesterday. The kli is mitzarif the elements that are in it for kodesh. In other words, if I have a keli and it has like a number of pieces of meat, and a tami person touches one piece of meat, so all the other pieces of meat become tami, even though they're not in contact with one another because they're in the same keli. That's a chumrah on a drabbanan level. Last night, Yosef asked me the question. I said no, they weren't in contact. I made a mistake. Even though they're not in contact with each other, avalo the truma, but not by truma. For truma, they all have to be in contact with one another. And then they'll go down one notch, you know, in like normal rules of tumah. Now, harabi ba kodesh pasul, bashlishi ba tumah. So the din by kodesh is, rabi is the end of the line. In other words, you don't go beyond rabi. Rabi is pasul. When it's the end of the line, it's called pasul. It doesn't you know, impact any other object. But by truma, the end of the line is shlishi. Uba truma, im nit me rachat miyadav, chavei ratat torah. By truma, if one of my hands becomes tame, it means on a drabbanan level, like a sheni latuma. If one of my hands becomes tame from a sheni latuma, and it touches the other hand is still tahor. He says, uva kodesh matbil shtein. But by kodesh, that one hand will be matame the other hand. Shaya matame chaver to be kodesh of olo betruma. Ochlin neguvim biadaim so avot betruma. So the Talmud Mishnah says, you can eat food that was dry, and it was food never had one of the makshirim on it. We discussed in the past that there are 7 makshirim. In order for food to be mekabel tumah, first it has to have one of the 7 makshirim. So food never had any of the makshirim on it, So I can, for truma purposes, I can eat it with tamei hands. And it was, again, the tamei hands are rabbanon, of a low bekodesh. I can't do bekodesh. And then the last halacha in the Mishnah, on the top line, the Falcom and Aleph, ha'onein, and mechusar kipurim, shrichin tzvil kodesh, v'lo l'truma. Onein is a person who has one of his close relatives died. But Rashi points out, the first Rashi, shlonit ma'vameto. He didn't come tamei, he didn't come to contact with the dead body. Wasn't in the same OL with the dead body. So he's an onein. So after the kvura, so he's going to end his period of aninus. You know, when we speak about kachim, the aninus really ends at nightfall, usually by that then. But when the aninus finishes, he still requires immersion in the mikvah. That's a din de rabbanan. He requires immersion in the mikvah, even though on a dry level, it doesn't, because he wasn't tamei. But on the Rabban level, he requires a tefillah, but for Kodesh. In other words, if he wants to eat a korban, he has to be tovel. And then Mechusar Kippurim is a person who went through the whole Tara process, but now he needs to bring a korban. For example, Rashi's example is the Zav. Mitzorah would also be a case of Mechusar Kippurim. So look at the Rashi, the top line in Rashi on Chaf Aleph Mad Aleph. Mechusar Kippurim, he had a Zav who on day three he immersed himself. He counted 7 days and then he immersed himself. He still has to bring a korban. So when he brings the korban, all's not finished until he does tahara and a mikvah. So that's another chumrah by Kodesh. So if he wants to eat kachim, yes, be tovil in a mikvah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did in the Mishnah? Okay, I'm going to move on. Say again. Wait. After the aninus is over, so he could be kachim, provided he's tovil in the mikvah. Okay? All right. Now, the second line in the Gemara on Chaf Amralev. Okay? So focusing on the first halacha we had in the Mishnah, which was that for Truma, I could be tovel one keli in another keli. But for Kodesh, I can't do that. So the Gemara says, but Kodesh, my time alone. Why am I not allowed to be tovel one keli in another keli? I'm Rabbi Elam, they should kvedo shel kli chotzeitz. Rabbi Elam says, because the weight of the inner keli is going to be chotzeitz, and the two keli will press against one another, will be chatzitza, the water won't be able to go everywhere. You have it? So he says, so the Gemara says, "Vahami to say from Yishum Chatzitza, Reishalam Yishum Chatzitza." The Gemara says, "Wait, that doesn't make so much sense because the first Chumrah in the Mishnah is about the two Kalim. In other words, with Kalim Tok Kalim. The fifth Chumrah in the Mishnah is about the garments that were knotted. In other words, for the Tefillah, which is also within Chatzitza. So if they're both Chatzitza, I would expect the Tana of the Mishnah just to mention one and not the other one." Let's look at Rashi. We'll do the two Rashis. Shekvedo shekli chotzeitz, kvedo shekli apnimi, the weight of the inner keli, hamachpid alachiton, is pressing against the outer keli, shumunat betocho, that it's situated inside of it. Chotzeitz b'fnei amayim, it interrupts with the water. Vein tefila ola lo lezev lo lezev. The tefila is not good for either keli. Neither keli is considered tavel. Ulekaman parach yihachi for the trumanami. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to ask, in that case, we should have the same problem with Truma. Why does Talmud Mishnah say it's only a Chumrah by Kachim and not by Truma? And then the next Rashi, Bahami de Seifa, the Mala Afariti, another Mala is another stringency, the Chashiv is Seifa, Habatam Mishum Chatzitza. So the reason the Seifa is like with the knotted garments, because the Chatzitza, Resha Lab Mishum Chatzitza. So it's logical to assume the Resha, the first case he calls the Resha, the fifth case he calls the Seifa. He says, the Talmud Sarvai Mishum Chatzitza, if the reason for both of them is because of Chatzitza, in other words, we're saying that we have to be extra stringent with Chatzitza when it's Kachin. Ulashmin and the Gabbe Kodesh called the Dami Chatzitza Poselbo, with Chumalo Pasla, El Chatzitza Gemura, Geraita, Lidni Chadaminayu. If the Tana wants to teach me that for Kachim, I'm going to be very masculine with Chatzitzas. And by Truma, I'm going to resort to the halakha on a Torah level. So he can teach me one halakha. I don't need to know both halakha. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Katani Sefer, because we learned from the Sefer Bar Mishnah on line 5, lo kmidat kodesh midata truma. The rule by kodesh is not the same rule by truma. Shiba kodesh matir umanage umatbiol. By kodesh, you untie it, and then mangiv is you dry it, or it might mean that you're cleaning it. We learned the pshat that was the Rambam. Umanage that should be umatbiol. But karkach kosher, and then you tie it up after you take it out of the mikvah. But with truma, kosher karkach matbiol. And by truma, you can tie it up, and then tovelet is tied. And we said already, it's like a loose tie, which would be a katzitza on a dry level, but it's just a chumra by conscience. So reisha v'seifa mishum katzitza. So the Gemara says taka, reisha v'seifa mishum katzitza. The Gemara says both of them, whereas the first case and the fifth case are both talking about katzitza, with tzricha. It was necessary for Tana to teach me both cases. The Yashmin and reisha, if he only taught me the first case in the Mishnah, which is the case of the keli and the keli, havamina hayutama to the kodesh lo, I would say the reason for kodesh it doesn't work are facts unique to that situation. Because the weight of the inner keli, that's the problem over there. But in the seifa case, which is a different type of chatzitza problem, it's just the nodding, but there's no weight of an inner keli. I would say for kodesh not a problem. The iashvin and seifa, and if you would only teach me the seifa case, which is the fifth case in the Mishnah, Havamina Hayotama de the Kodesh Lo, I would say the reason for Kodesh is not good. Mishum, turn page, the Kitra Bamaya Duki Mahadik. I would say that a knot in water like gets tighter. That's the way we have it in the Gemara. The Bach, let's look at the Bach. The Bach says, Mishum de Kitra Aduke. So the Bach takes up the word Bamaya. It was according to the Bach, a knot tends to get tighter. Or they argue or something more like the knot gets tighter in water. The water, like, I don't know, it expands it and then makes it all tighter. Aval Reisha, back in the Gemara, Aval Reisha, Demaya Kuyimakfu Le Lamana, but in the Reisha, the one Kaili and the other Kaili, I would say the water lifts up the Kaili. In other words, yeah, the Kaili and one another, but the water is going to have buoyancy and separate the Kaili. Lohavi Chatzitza. I would think it's not a Chatzitza. So the Gemara says, I need both cases, and teach me that indeed in both of these cases there's a chumra for Kodesh. All right? Any questions so far? All right, let's go further. Now, the third line. So this was Rabbi Elif's shot in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Elif's shot is basically saying that case 1 and case 5 in the Mishnah are both working off of Chatzitza. So Rabbi Elif Tame, Rabbi Elif follows his shita, the Amar Rabbi Elif, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Esther Malod Shanu Khan. So Rabbi Ela says the name of Chanina Bar Papa that there are only 10 stringencies in the Mishnah. We said there were 11. He says there are only 10. There are only 10 because stringency number 1 and stringency number 5 are really the same. They're both working off the chatzitzas. So it's really 10 stringencies in the Mishnah. He says, Chamesh Rishonot, Bein Lekodesh, Bein Lechulin Shinasu, Otar Rakodesh. So the Gemara explains, or Rabbi Chanina, or Rabbi Elif explains, and then Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, that the first 5 stringencies apply to Kodesh. Kodesh is Korbanot, and it also applies to Chulin Shanasu Atar Kodesh, which we discussed yesterday. If a person signs up for the program, that his Chulin, as far as he's concerned, are going to be like Kodesh. He's treating all the stringencies of Kodesh. So then those first 5 stringencies will apply even to Chulin Shanasu Atar Kodesh. On Choronot, the Kodesh of Allah, the Chulin, and also the Torah Kodesh. But the last 5, which are stringencies, will only apply to the bona fide Kodesh, not to Chulin, not to the Torah Kodesh. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the chiluk between the first 5 and the second 5? Chamesh Kamaita, the Itlahu, Dror, the Tumah Midoraita. The first 5 have an element of Tumah Min HaTorah. So he says, Gazru Bo Rabbanan, Bein Kodesh, Bein Chulin, not to the Torah Kodesh. So the Chachamim goes there, the first 5, for Kodesh, and for Chulin Shnasu, Atar Kodesh. But right, the last 5, the late Lahu Dorah, the Tumah Mini Doraita, they have no element of Tumah Doraisa in it. Gazru B'Rabbanan Kodesh, L'Chulin Shnasu, Atar Kodesh, Lo Gazru B'Rabbanan. So the Chachamim didn't make any Gzeira for that, okay? Now, All right, so let's see the Rashi on this. Okay, so Rashi is going to go down now and explain to us how the first five all have an element of Tumah Doraisa. Okay, so let's look at the Rashi, the fourth narrow line of Rashi. Dorar de Tumah Doraisa, Chashash Tumah Doraisa. Now, he's going to take down the five paces. Kli betok kli, one kli and another kli, he says, I'ika chatzitza Tumah Doraisa. So if there's a chatzitza, so it would be Tumah Doraisa. So there is a scenario under which the Tumah Doraisa comes into play there. So therefore, even though it's a chumrah that we're saying you can't do kli b'tok kli, and we'll see what tomorrow what the chumrah is, but nevertheless, that chumrah we're going to play out even for Kulin Shnasu al Tarat Kodesh. Achorayim b'tok. Now, the Achorayim b'tok, if you remember, we said, let's say Mashkin, which are ashamed of Tumah, they touch a kli, so that's going to be Tumah Dorabanan, because Mashkin on a deraisa level, can't be metamically, but on a deraisa on the bottom level, they can be metamically. Now, they can be metamically, we've had this before, is because Chazal were concerned of like the roke of the zav. In other words, certain fluids in halacha are very dangerous, but people might be mezalza with it. So if a zav and he spits at something, so that's like the kiss of death. So we want people to be very sensitive to all fluids, and to be on their guard for it. So let's take a look back in the Rashi. So Rashi says, Achorayim b'toch, the case where you have where the water or touches the back of the keli or the inside of the keli, Afal gav, the kelim shnitnu achorav b'mashkin tumah d'rabanan yaskinan. Even though we're dealing with tumah d'rabanan, and we said, but we're applying to chumash nasu with Torah Kodesh, only if it has a tumah d'raisa element involved with it. Mihu had the Amur Rabbanan Mashkin Mitamin Kli Shumzerid Damashkin Zavazavahu. He says the reason the Chachamim were goes there that the Mashkin give Tumah to the Kli because they're concerned for the Mashkin Zavazavah, the fluids that come from the Zav and the Zavah, like spittle. He says, Kigon Roko, Mimi Raglav, like spit or urine. He says, Bahani Mitamin Kli Midoraita. That would be Mitamin Kli under the right level. So Rashi tells us by Tumah Doraisa, so there's no difference between the different parts of the Kli. But Kli Shetef means like a Kli that's not a Kli Cheres, it's a Kli Shetef. In other words, if it's a metal vessel or a wood vessel, it's called Kli Shetef. Rabbi Sablovsky said to me today, it's called Kli Shetef because it needs to be in a mikvah. He says, So that's the deraisa connection there. Then we'll do two more. So now we're around eight lines from the bottom in Rashi. No say a midras nami. So if a person's carrying the midras, so we said that he can carry truma, but he can't carry kodesh. He says chashash truma deraisa. He can farish b'gemara. It's a chashash for truma deraisa. The Gemara is going to say. So it means if he's carrying the midras of a tame, like the nida, could be the zav. So Rashi's example is the shoe. He's allowed to carry truma in a kli cheres, but he can't carry kachim in a kli cheres. And we're concerned that the shoe or the item is going to end up in the avir of the kli cheres. We'll see. The Gemara says, Masa yashanaf l'ritzuvara sandal l'avir chavid. The Gemara is going to say there was a situation where somebody, like the shoe strap broke, and he put it on top of the Kli Cheres and it ended up inside. And so it's a chumrah, but it's based on a deraisa concern. Big day Oklei Truma Midras the Kodesh. He says the garments of the Oklei Truma are Midras the Kodesh. Shema Yeshvalihan Ishto Nida. Chashash Truma Doraitini. So we're afraid that maybe he's careful with Truma, but maybe his wife, who's Anita, sat on it and there would be a Truma Doraisa. Kilim Nigmarim Mechulei. And we said the Kilim Nigmarim that if the kelim, even though I know they're completed in a state of tahara, they need tefillin mikvah for kodesh. Because tzinor de ama aretz, here he means the spittle of the ama aretz, then maybe he's a zav. In other words, maybe a zav came and spat on it. Okay, but they're all. It's a tumah d'oraisa element in each one of them. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so that's the first pshat. So the first pshat, the Gemara says, are really 10 cases in the Mishnah, because case 1 and 5 are really all connected to the idea of chatzitza. And the first five are the chumras that apply even chumin shnasur atar kodesh. Last five only apply to kudshim. We're back on the Gemara, the fifth line from the bottom. Rav Amar, v'tisefa hav mishum chatzitza, resha lav mishum chatzitza. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Ila. Rav says, in other words, the seifa case with the knot, that definitely is because of chatzitza. That the Gemara takes it as a given. So he says the resha case, then he says, the resha case is not mishum chatzitza. The resha hainu taima, what's the reason for the resha case, the kli b'to kli, it's the Gzeirah Rabbanan that we're afraid if I permit you to be Tovel a Kli, but to Kli, nothing, it's not a Chatzitza problem. But if I permit you to be Tovel one Kli and another Kli, you may come to Tovel very small Kalim, like Machin, like a pin, or Tsinoro, they said like a spinning fork, in another kli, and the other kli doesn't have an opening large enough to connect it to the mikveh. So the shear to open, to be connected to the mikveh, is kishvoferet anod. Shvoferet anod is like a tube, like in a leather satchel, okay? Let's just do a few lines, and I can get a... Okay, so he says, kidanan, like we learn in the Mishnah. Everybody think the bottom line on the Kapalhun days. Eruv mikvahod kishvoferet anod. Now, Eruv mikvahod is, let's say I have one mikveh has 40 sa'a, and the other mikveh has 20 sa'a. So 20 sa'a doesn't cut it as a mikveh. But if they're connected with a body of water that's the width of shoferet anod, like this tube, then they're both connected to halakha. It's called hashaka. Then it's hashaka. Now hashaka, the way Rabbi Sablovsky said, can either mean kissing, or hashaka can mean like overflowing. So let's look at the Rashi. He says, all right, we don't need the rations. Okay, let's see further. Kidanan, Eruv mikvah kishvoferet anod, ke'ovya u'kekalala, b'shtei etzvot chozrot l'mikolman. So the Mishnah says that Eruv mikvah is when you have a tube the size of kishvoferet anod. Kishvoferet is a tube. A node is like this leather satchel. Ke'ovya u'kekalala. It has to be its thickness and like its emptiness, which means, in other words, you have the tube and the space connecting the mikvahot has to be equal not only to the empty spot in the tube, but also the thickness of the tube. In other words, for the mikvahot to be connected. But they give us a shear for this, which is nice, which is stay at spot chozrot l'mikolman. It means for two fingers to loosely move around, that would connect the two mikvahot. Okay, so let's look at the top line in Rashi. Bafei Zaman Aleph, 22a, the top line. He says, two fingers that can move around easily. He says, Shadani chul l'galgeel b'tochal lo shtei etzvot l'chol tzad, havi eruv u'mabil enaf kelim. So then I can be tovel kelim. B'hai nami chashash tumah d'oraisa. So that's a chashash tumah d'oraisa. So again, let's go slowly with this. So Rava says, please, somebody unmuted themselves. Okay. So Rava says, the first case in the Mishnah, one kli and the other kli, is not because of chatzitza. The first case in the Mishnah is a chumra, because we're concerned that people might come to be tovel, machtin, and sinorio, these small kalim, in another kali, but the other kali has a very small aperture. And then I stick it in the mikvah, and so, but it's not considered joined to the mikveh. So I think I'm tovling it, but I'm not tovling it because it's not joined because the opening is so. In other words, I stick them, let's say, in a bottle. I stick them in like a soda bottle when they used to have soda bottles, you know. And it's a small opening, and I can't stick two fingers in the opening of a soda bottle. So I stick the soda bottle in the mikveh, so then the water comes in. I think it's good, but it's not good. So they say, I can't tovel one keli another keli because I'm concerned about this specific case, which is the keli b'to keli. You got it? All right, let's repeat again. Everybody focus, okay? Okay, the first stringency in the Mishnah is that I can't be tovel one keli and another keli for Kodesh, but not for Truma, okay? Okay, so we had two hesberim on that. The first hesber is the chashash b'chatzitza, that the weight of the inner keli would press against the outer keli, and that would be chatzitza. That's Rabbi Ila. Then the Gemara quotes Rava. Rava says that's not the problem. It's not a chatzitza problem. The problem is that there is a case where a person will be tovel one keli and another keli, and it will not be good. Not be good. What's that case? If I take a small keli, like maktin and tzinor, I take like needles or tzinor or spinning forks, I stick them in a keli that has a very small opening, like a bottle of soda, and I stick that in a mikveh. So even though the water goes inside the bottle, it's not considered as if I was tovel the needles and the thing. So that's one keli and another keli. So because there is a case of keli b'tol keli, which is bad, they, as a chumrah, the rabbanan, the asher prekachim, all keli b'tol keli. What? No. In other words, the case with the narrow hole, not good according to anybody. But the case that we're, the chumrah is any keli in another keli, even though the hole is a big hole. In other words, it's the one, like I got a pot, I'm sticking another pot. You know, I can't stick that in a mikvah. I can't stick that in because there's one case, one application. Okay, let me answer. Again, imagine a pot in another pot. I understood his question. Tell me what the question is. I got it. Okay. So again, so I have one pot in another pot, okay? So on a Torah level, it's good for truma. On a Torah level, it's good for kachim, right? But as a special chumrah for kachim, we're going to say that since there's a case of one keli and another keli where it's not good, so I'm going to asur all keli b'tol keli for kachim. That's a special chumrah by kachim. Okay. I just said because kachim is on a higher level. Okay, that's the title of the Mishnah. Chomer v'kodesh mi'betruma. Okay, we have. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go further. Okay. Now, and I made a correction on something I said last time. I'm sorry you weren't here with the case with the different pieces of meat and one keli with keli makaber. They're not touching each other. Right. Not the numbers, but. But for cut, right. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay. Now, okay. Ubekala shteitz v'kozum l'nkolon. So on the top line, savar lo kahadim or Nachman amar Rabba bar Avua. So it means Rabba holds like Rav Nachman and Rav Avua achadastri malo shanukan. So he learns there's 11 stringencies because Rabbi Ila learned there were 10 because 1 and 5 were really the same. Katita. He learns there are 11 stringencies. Chesh rishonot. So he learns the first six are Bain Lakodesh, Bain Lakun Shnasu Atarta Kodesh. Acharonot, Lakodesh, Valo Lakun Shnasu Atarta Kodesh. He learns the last five are just for Kodesh, not for Kulin Shnasu Kodesh. Now, the Gemara says, My Ika Bain Durava, Rabbi Ila. So what's the Nafkamina Lahalacha? Whether I say, so they both agree that for Kodesh, I can't have a keli b'tol keli. Everybody agrees with that. Either it's because of chatzitza, or it's because of this concern about the keli that has a small hole. You know that it has to be shteitz boat the closed road. So what's the nafkamina l'alacha? So the Gemara says ikabeinai who solved the gargutni shemilan keli mit bilan. The nafkamina between the two would be if I took a basket or a gargutni. Is like this, also like a type of basket that you use it like in the processing of wine, and it has like a weave in it, like a so the wine goes through it and it holds back the sedimentation, or the skins and things like that. Shemilan kalim behipilan. So let's say I used a sal or a gargutni, I filled it up with kalim, and the basket is talking about like a wicker basket, in other words like the water can, goes through it. I fill it up with kalim and I'm tovel them. L'man d'amar mishum chatzitza ika. So according to the shita of Rabbi Ila, who says the first case of the Mishnah is working off chatzitza, so now I have a problem using any of those kalim for kodesh because I was tovel of kalim and kalim. That's what we said for kodesh. We don't do that. He says l'man d'amar mishum zereshem yedol machin b'tzinoriyod b'chli shem b'fiv kishofer anod. According to Rava, who said the concern is. This policy consideration I'm afraid that somebody may come to be tavol, you know, the needles, you know, in a keli that, you know, has a small aperture. Sal the gargutni shame between kishvurano leka. So a sal and a gargutni never come as a small open, you know, a small opening. In other words, a basket and the gargutni, which is used like in the wine vat, they never are processed. There is no some type of sal that has a small hole opening. So there would be no reason to make a gzera in that case, in which case they would say that it's good. You have it? Everybody good so far? Okay. Everybody good? All right, let's go on. Okay. Va'az the Rava l'tame. So the Gemara says Rava goes like l'shitato. Now, again, Rava is the one who said that, that you know, you have the aperture, but sal and gargutni would be an exception. It says the Amar Rava, sal the gargutni shemilam kelim et bilan tohorim. Rava says, you have sal and gargutni that I fill it up with kelim and I'm tovilim. He says, and then u'mikvah shechilko besal the gargutni. Or let's say I have a mikvah and then I create a mechitza in the mikvah. He says, with the means, it's like I'm creating like a fence, like a perforated fence in the mikvah with the sal and the gargutni. Like it means like a wicker partition in the mikvah. He says, a tovel sham lo alta lo tvilo. He says, a person who's tovel on one side of that partition is not a good tvilo mikvah. In other words, he wants to say that creates like a mechitza between the waters. Even though the waters go through one another. In other words, the idea is, in other words, waters go through, but the holes are smaller than shtei etzba'ot. So in order for things to be mechubar, I need two fingers loosely. So here, now I have a partition where there are holes in it, but it's not two fingers loosely. Da'ara kula chafuli makalkala uva'in de'ika arvim sab makom echad. So he says, this different hesberim, what this means. But one hesber you could say is, let's say it's either talking about, let's say I have a mikvah, let's say I have two mikvahot, each with 20 sa'a, and they're near one another, the earth divides them, but the earth is also porous. In other words, all earth is porous, right? Because it rains and the earth gets filled with water. And nevertheless, it's considered a mechitza between them. He says, Vani mili bechli tahur. So now, okay, let me pause for a second and make sure everybody's okay with this so far. Is everybody good or not? Okay. All right. So which, the ground you didn't get? Okay, it means like this. Let's say I have like two holes in the ground and I fill them with megishamim. One has got 20 sa'a, one has 20 sa'a. And now there's dirt between them. So they're considered separate, but not mechubar, even though earth is porous. So the earth is like the right. So that's the same thing. Okay. All right. That's the one explanation. Okay. Everybody good in the cyber world? Everybody here otherwise? Okay. Let's do a few more lines and I think we'll call it a day. Now, okay. Now the Gemara says, now again, we said that, if I put the sinorim and the machtin in a kli, and the aperture in the kli is very narrow, not enough for two etzba'od, so the tefillin mikvah does not help the machtin and sinorio, right? Okay, so the Gemara now qualifies that halacha. Daniel, you still with us? V'hani milei b'chli tahor. Daniel? Okay, well, it's not the place to sleep. Okay, now, v'hani milei b'chli tahor. He says that's with a kli tahor, meaning if the outer keli was tahor, so then indeed it would be a chatz. In other words, it wouldn't be a kosher mikvah. In other words, if let's say I have a bottle which is smaller than the opening of the thing, so and then I stick the machtin and sinorio in the bottle, and then I total the mikvah, the machtin and sinorio tmeim. So he says not a good immersion in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, "Bahani mile bechli tahor." That's only if the outer keli is itself tahor. So the outer keli doesn't need a tefillah in the mikvah. The inner keli do need to require a tefillah in the mikvah, but the aperture is so small it doesn't count, right? He says, "Aval bechli tamei." But let's say the kli, the outer keli, was tamei, and the outer keli needs a tefillah in the mikvah. He says, "Aval bechli tamei." If the outer keli is tamei, the outer keli also, let's say leave out the lemakan sinoreot. Let's say I have a bottle and it needs to be in the mikveh. So I'm going to be tovel it, right? And then that'll work. Let's say there's only one keli. And so it's good, even though it has a narrow opening. So it's not so pashut, of course, but the water that enters the inside of the keli is only attached to the mikveh itself with less than two etzbaot. But the Gemara says that if the kli is tame, it works. So the Gemara is saying that this halacha, so if it's a kli tame, since the tefillah and the mikveh works for the kli tame, and it works for the outside of the kli tame, and it works for the inside of the kli tame, it'll work for the machtin and sinorot as well. Tower. Okay, let's go over again. So now let's see back in the Gemara. Near the small gimel. The honey mealy the kli tower about the kli tame. If it's a kli tame, please, Daniel, don't go to sleep. He says about the kli tame. Migo the salta tefila lekula gufa demana. Since the tefila helps for the whole kli, salta lunami the kelim to itbe. It's also effective vis-a-vis the kelim that are in there. He says now ditnan. Now he's going to learn a mishnah which is going to support that. Ditnan, we learn in the mishnah. Kalim Shemilon, Kalim Hithilon. If I have Kalim and I fill them up with other Kalim, Harei Elu Tahorin. The Talmud Mishnah says that both Kalim are Tahor. Bim Lo Taval, and this line we don't understand, but we must be patient. Bim Lo Taval, Mayim Hamu Uravin, Ashimu Uravin Kishukuranod. So the Gemara says, Maika Amar, Bim Lo Taval. What does he mean, the part about Bim Lo Taval? So the Gemara says, Haki Kamar. This is what the Talmud Mishnah means. It was the first case is the case where the outer keli is tamei. So then everything becomes tahor, the outer keli and the inner keli. The second case is when it says v'inlo taval means v'inlo tarif lehapilo. If he doesn't need to tavel the outside keli, he says umayma maru ravin achumu ravin kishfer anod. In other words, so it has to be attached kishfer anod. In other words, it has to be an aperture which is two etzba'ot. Okay? So that's the Gemara has that. All right. Now, let me see if there's anything more to say, and then we'll take it. 1 second. All right. I can read a little bit of this, and then we'll take it from there. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Let me do a little story here, and that'll be it. Okay. The Masat Ben Yamin was asked how to immerse a person who is unable to stand. He says, now we had about Kli Shabbatot, Kli was the Chatzitza. He cites the ruling of the Mari Bruna, who also addressed this issue. The Mari Bruna maintains that the only way to immerse this handicapped person is to have him lay down on a sheet with people holding each of the corners. They must lower the person until his body is submerged and then lift him out of the water by means of the sheet. The Masas Ben Yamin disputed this suggestion because an immersion that is done on an item that is susceptible to tuma is invalid, even the Dievet. In other words, if it's Davar Shem Kabal Tuma, it doesn't work. Therefore, the Masas Ben Yamin suggests two alternative options. The first option is for people to grasp the handicapped person and immerse by hand. The immersion to be valid, one must be mindful that the hands of those who are grasped, or those who are grasped onto the handicapped person should not be in position. The way to avoid this issue is to have the people immerse their hands in the mikvah before they grasp the handicapped person. Doing so, the water on their hands becomes attached to the mikvah water, and there's no interposition between their hands and his body. In other words, there's a halacha like this. In other words, this comes up, let's say, by when you tovel kalim. Let's say you go to the kalim mikvah. I want to tovel kalim. So I'm holding on to the kalim. So if I mean, sometimes I have a basket and things like that. But let's say I'm not doing it with a basket. I'm holding on the kalim in my hand. But I'm holding on. That's a chatita. So how do I get out of that? So what the poskim says, first you stick your hand in the water. You wet your hand. Then you pull your hand out of the water. And you hold the keli lightly, and then you immerse it in such a way, so now you did a good tefillah. So he's saying, do it the same way with this person. He's handicapped, he can't go into the mikvah, he wants to tefillah in the mikvah. So they'll wet their hands and they'll hold on to him, presumably not so tight. Now, the second, what? For a mace, but I'm not familiar how they put the mace in the mikvah. The what? Machinery. Oh, okay. So he said, right. Okay, now the second option is to immerse the person in the method described by the Mari Bruna, but instead of using a sheet that is susceptible to Tuma, one should utilize a reed mat that is not susceptible to Tuma. The Sidrei Tara questions the second suggestion of Masas Binyanin. It claims that any time one item is pressed tightly against another, an interposition is created which invalidates the immersion. In other words, if I'm going to have the body and it's on the sheet, even if the sheet's not makabel tuma, it's going to create a chatzitza. Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak Saisar Gemara, is proof of this principle. Our Gemara explains that the Mishnah's ruling invalidating the immersion of a vessel in another vessel, the Kodesh, is due to the weight and pressure the inner utensil exerts on the outer utensil. Minchas Yitzchak proceeds to write at length about the validity of a person immersing in clothing. All right, I think that's it for tonight. Let me just end the recording. One second.
For a woman who needs to...
What?